Fife fans, welcome back to season 5 of Scotland's Premier 5 Base Contact.
I saw what you did there.
I'm lost, mate.
I don't like it already.
You're not making any sense. I'm having a stroke, that's why.
Right, okay. Sorry, guys, you'll just have to put up with it. Anyway.
Burnt toast.
No, I'm not even going there.
Helen Daniels, rest in peace, lads.
Anyway.
I thought he just meant a wag. His hand, both his hands are under the table, quite suspiciously.
Oh. So glad I'm not in the room.
Welcome to Fife Club, where a few friends chat about anything and everything that's taken their interest, putting their world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Have a chat about it. Talk to people.
Just a nice, gentle discussion. Nothing major.
Yeah. Open up to your parents about Fife Club.
It was National Come Out Day, wasn't it?
It was, exactly. They probably already know. They already suspect.
It's, yeah, they will. Anyway.
I have a terrible secret, Mum. What is it? I listen to Fife Club. Get out of this house!
I'm not sure if that's funny or tragic or what.
Or accurate.
Anyway, we are back with a new season, episode 80, and the road to episode 100.
100 episodes in 20 episodes' time.
You pure fucks.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, I've listened to approximately 4 of them.
And, you know, I kind of do wonder, did you miss us while we were away between season 4 and season 5? Because, you know, 7 days is a major struggle without your favourite fight-based podcast.
I've been checking the emails, there was a lot of emails coming in.
So many.
There's something about a domain name and if you want to order more Viagra. So, yeah.
Sorry, guys, that was me. Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, this is all support to register your domain.
Needs must.
So we are back for another 20-week run at this thing that we do. But again, you know, we've joked that, you know, you poor fucks listen to us, but we are absolutely amazed that you guys are still tuning in each week and listening, and more people all the time.
Yeah, more of you. You keep, like, multiplying or something. Mm.
And we keep walking in to people and meeting people that tell us that they're listening. It's like, that's good.
Yeah, that's weird. Do you think we crossed the line ever? Like, just worried about, you know, sort of professional context.
My friend Marty listened to one episode by mistake once because he couldn't work out how to turn it off.
That is exactly our listener base, right?
Lizzie, that's what all the ladies say to me.
He had to put headphones in the headphone jack so that the noise didn't come out anymore.
Oh, yes.
And listeners, if you do have a story about how ashamed you are to listen to Fife Club, please do write to us and let us know.
Yeah. How did they do that, Jamie?
They can talk to us on our website, www.fiveclub.co.uk, or email us, ken@fiveclub.co.uk, facebook.com/fiveclubpod, Twitter @fiveclub, Instagram @fiveclub, or just search fiveclub.
Yeah, that'll do it. So, anyway, let's get on with the introductions. On the mics with my good self, Kutch, is a royal princess who's always the bridesmaid and never the bride. It's Princess Eugenie.
Oh, God.
So, Eugenie Eugenics, I'm called. Royals used to love that.
And next to him is a princess who was promised that they'd be shown a whole new world. It's Princess Jazzmark.
Oh, nice.
Jazzmarks.
More accurate. It's fine.
I heard Jazzmark.
And coming in over the intertubes, all the way from Stormy Stornoway, is a former princess of the Isles. It's Queen Lizzie.
Hi there.
Oh, that made sense.
Yeah. I don't get that. How was I?
A former princess.
Why was I a princess and now I'm a queen?
Because the queen used to be a princess and now she's a queen.
Elizabeth, as in the queen.
God, I have to explain these jokes.
That's what happens when your pawn gets all the way to the other side of the chessboard.
Yeah, lost me there, I know.
And with us also, like, it's another princess who is famously dead in a tunnel, it's Kutch.
Did Max ever tell you about the time she went to a fancy dress party as Princess Diana post-accident? It was Halloween.
Oh, wow.
You must have been dead young at the time.
Oh, catch.
Oh, dear.
You took that too far, mate.
Oh, whoops. that was actually unintentional as well. Oh, well.
You're disgusting. I would never say something like that.
Only because you get me to edit it out.
I'll refer you back to an earlier conversation. Which I won't mention because Kutch might beep it out, which apparently he does in some episodes, only every second swear word. Does anybody else notice that? In the Bowfest episode, every second swear word was beeped out, and yeah, I don't really know why.
I went through it and tried to beep out as many swear words as I could, but obviously that's an impossible task.
When you're absolutely hammered. fangirling every folk band that's
oh, yeah, listen to it. Your fangirl so voice is something to behold. It was beautiful.
Wrecked.
Did you make all friends?
Clearly wrecked.
I did not know. But yeah, that was a special time. Fuck. Anyway, what are we going to chat about tonight?
Well, you've got the running order, Cut.
you tell us.
Well, I was hoping maybe somebody would jump in and save me. Well, we talk a little bit about the major event that happened on Sunday.
Yes.
Doctor Who.
Oh, right, okay.
What were you thinking of, Jamie?
I don't know, that's why I went...
I had a really good nap.
Yeah,
probably whilst Doctor Who was on, if I'm being honest.
Well, in fairness, I didn't watch it till Monday morning. But Jamie, you watched it live, didn't you?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. So, new Doctor Who impressions.
Really, I don't think I could do Jodie Whittaker. It's got that northern kind of thing flying about. Yes.
Sheffield. Sonic Sheffield.
Kutch can't do either.
Graduate of the Sean Connery School as ever, Kutch. One of the most prized graduates, I think. No, I thought it was really good. I watched it, like, as you know, I'm pretty about Doctor Who. I'll not watch it. Mm. Whatever. But I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. And it was nice that it was Northern as well.
Yeah.
Not constantly in London.
London, yeah.
Yeah.
No matter what. Yeah.
Lives like constantly in Victorian London. No, I thought it was really good. I thought Jodie Whittaker was amazing. She is a very, very fine actor. So she was obviously going to always do a good job.
Yeah.
So I don't know why she's wearing, like, kids' pajamas with a coat over the top of it. That's a bit play school and weird. But, you know, whoever, whatever.
It's quite Doctor Who-y though, isn't it?
Is that what the kids are wearing these days?
Yeah. Forgive
my ignorance, because as I have no knowledge of Doctor Who whatsoever, from the original or now, nothing. I think I've watched one episode with David Tennant once. Apart from that, nothing. Is this the first of the series where it's a bird?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Doctor Who does officially have tits now.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Two tits, two hearts.
Yeah. Well,
well, I suppose men have two tits as well. Yeah. I certainly do.
I thought it was a really good episode, quite strong. There was not afraid to shy away from death as well. There was a
people at, so the new showrunner is Chris Chibnall, who did Broadchurch, and I thought after watching it, it's still Doctor Who, but everything about it is like they've tried to make it as close as possible to an adult high cost BBC drama, and you know, so people could watch it in that sort of way as well, maybe get sucked in, how successful that'll be. But it's like it's shot on anamorphic lenses and stuff as well, which makes it look really, really nice. But Chris Chibnall, he actually killed people.
Yeah.
Because the last writer, Stephen Moffat, killed people and then always brought them back to life.
Yeah.
But he's proper killed people already. Yeah. He's like, yes, make the kids scared.
So is this why Jodie Whittaker is Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Because she's Danny Latimer's mum, who's found some way to travel through time to try and solve the murder of her boy.
Yeah.
And Broadchurch.
Yeah.
All right. There will be a crossover if so.
Yeah. Malar! Yeah.
I thought the effects were better. And not only were the effects better, but the shot selection.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the big technical
monster thing. Yeah.
You only saw it like a little far away in the dark, and it made it look better.
Yeah, it made it look a bit more terrifying.
Yeah, it's kind of everything I wanted it to be. And the Doctor was... Recently in Doctor Who, it's been like a deus ex machina, smart, clever man who comes up with something that makes no sense at the end of each episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really annoying. And this one, she was sort of really muddling her way through. She was building things.
Yeah.
She was nice. She was... It was... Yeah, building a sonic screwdriver in Sheffield Steel.
I said that.
That's like, quite cool.
The Doctor crafting her own sonic in Sheffield with Sheffield Steel was just like, it was a nice wee touch.
Guys,
is that a euphemism?
No. Well, I was just about to bring this up, Lizzie. So let's bring this back down to Fife Club level. We've been talking about production stuff. Let's bring it back down to Fife Club level. A lot of people online have been saying it looks like a vibrator. It does have. It is like
okay, I'm going to Google it. Yeah, What's it called?
If you put in Jodie Whittaker sonic screwdriver, it should come up.
I'll describe it for listeners.
It glows above it. It's got like a sort of tube and then a bit that bends. What's your expert opinion, Lizzie?
Wait a minute. It's still loading.
That's what I say.
It won't just be Storm Callum that's shaking those walls tonight. Let me tell you that.
It certainly won't be Callum himself, that's for sure.
Oh my god.
Very diverse cast and it was all around. It also has Bradley Walsh from The Chase on it, who it turns out is actually a proper, really serious stage actor and stuff, so
and
he was surprisingly good.
My first reaction when I heard that was like, ugh. But then I remember that was my reaction with
Donna.
Yeah,
Catherine Tate.
Catherine Tate.
Whose first episode was awful, but then...
Absolutely hate.
Right,
you know what?
I can't look at her or anything.
I dislike her comedy. I disliked her. Like, I just could never get behind it. It wasn't that great. When she's in her run as the companion in Tennant's Doctor,
she was
brilliant. She became actually one of my favourite
companions. And I hated her as well. And the first episode she's in is a Christmas one, and it was fucking awful. But then they changed her character a bit when she came in as a full companion, and she was honestly my favourite companion
ever.
It's
because they made
so good.
They made her do Catherine Tate. Isn't that
right? In the Christmas episode.
And it was just like, this is fucking dreadful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, couldn't watch that. But then, you're right, she did become alright.
It was great.
Like, I thought that was all good. Like, it's a good sort of start.
Yeah.
I like what you said about the production and, like, the, like, not showing the bad guy. Because my big problem with anything that's, like, sci-fi or whatever is whenever they show you the baddie and the baddie is just this, like, dude in a rubber mask.
Yeah.
And then it's just that moment where, like, the imagination breaks entirely.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you're called Derek. And you're wearing that mask.
Well, that was Tim Shaw, but she called him Tim Shaw with the teeth on his face.
Yeah.
But, spoilers. But, so he takes a tooth from each of his victims and puts it on his face. And when you first see that, you're like, oh, actually, that's a bit weird. But then they do a shot where it's really close up at him.
Uh-huh.
So it makes it look, it doesn't look shit. But there's a couple of shots later on where it's further away and it looks a bit BBC One.
He puts a tooth on his face.
Yeah,
for every person that he kills, yeah.
Where and how? I'm confused.
He's an alien. He's got like teeth embedded in his face. I was really hoping they were going to bring in just to scare the shit out of kids and say, oh, this is obviously the origin of the tooth fairy.
Yeah, I thought that's where we were going. But no, it wasn't.
Actually, we should probably get you to have a look at the picture to see if your dental qualifications
are dentally accurate. I'm doing a lot of Googling here.
If you were to just start squeezing a tooth into your cheek.
Put in Doctor Who.
Toothface Doctor Who.
Yeah, that should do it.
Yeah.
One of the things I kind of wanted to say about it was always when there's a new Doctor, you've got that settling kind of bit, maybe for an episode or two. And so far, the writers have always managed to get that bit, which was done just towards the end of this episode, where I forget that it's a new person and that it's the Doctor.
Yeah, because it took about halfway through the episode and I was like, ah, it's the Doctor.
Yeah, there was a bit up when they were up on the crane and she started...
Yeah.
When she remembered who she was.
Yeah,
but it was just at that moment, I was just like... Pulled me in, convinced me, and I think that is the key thing from here on. She's definitely the Doctor.
Was I the only one who laughed at the guy trying to learn to ride a bike at the beginning before you knew he had dyspraxia?
I was like,
why can't you ride a bike? You can't. I felt a bit bad about that later. Yeah.
Because it was more like, where's this going? What's the point?
But,
and actually, that's come across quite well. It's been. Lots of people say it's the first time anybody with dyspraxia has been properly kind of represented.
There were a couple of lines. small criticism that there are a couple of lines of, you don't know if it's clunky dialogue or you don't know if it's the actor is getting used to the way, whoa, there's a poltergeist behind it. Stuff falling.
It's Ghostwriter.
Fucking loved Ghostwriter.
It's me. You thought I was in Stornoway, but actually.
You're coming out the cupboard. No. That's just a dead process.
It is National coming out.
Well, my mother's convinced I'm a lesbian anyway, so.
Might as well make her Christmas. Oh no, she's joking about this. Oh, well. Oh, sorry, Jimmy, I interrupted you.
That was it. Basically a couple of lines of clunky dialogue, but that's expected when it's a new show.
Sure, yeah.
And it's, yeah, but my main take would be is that I enjoyed it as an avid Doctor Who fan, and you seem to think it was alright as a non-Doctor Who fan.
Yeah, so. I watched Doctor Who because mostly I'm interested in the actor that plays Doctor Who. Mm. It's like, I'd quite like to see like Matt Smith, Tennant, and all that kind of thing. I watched Eccleston because it was like, it came back and it was alright, you know, whatever. Yeah. But then you hear that Tennant's going to do it, and you're like, oh, I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
And like Capaldi, Matt Smith, they're all kind of, and Jodie Whittaker are all like really great actors, so it's worth watching it.
This series is what I expected the Eccleston series to be like. And from interviews with Eccleston, it seems like that's what he was promised it would be like, and that's why he left, because it wasn't. You could tell in the first series that everyone who worked on it worked on kids' TV.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the Moffat era, that was still half true. And now it feels like it's truly, it's like a family show slash adult show rather than a kid show.
It's kind of grown up with the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Did you find his face, Lizzie?
No, I tried various combinations of teeth and face in Doctor Who, but it just kept coming up with weird orthodontic procedures.
Doctor Who tears the teeth out of his.
Surely it's actually going to come up more with like John Barrowman. Yeah, if you're googling teeth in Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, there was a lot of veneers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, fake. Yeah. Anyway, just bad.
There's a guy in the coming up thing called, I think it was something, it was something Barrowman, and I was like, I wonder if that's Barrowman's husband. I don't know. I never checked.
I'm not sure. Right, I'm just looking under Tim Shaw. There we go. Right, I'll send you a picture just now, Lizzie.
Okay.
This solid gold.
I sent you guys a picture.
You sent us a picture of a dildo. Yeah.
It's 100% a dildo.
Yeah.
And I think you can buy that in like toy shops, but it's definitely a dildo.
Yeah.
I wonder if it will slightly vibrate.
Like, oh, no.
You know what I mean? Like a toy thing.
Because some of them have been
moving. I'll let you know.
Yeah. review.
Is it a good sonic screwdriver?
So while we're rationalising this and Lizzie's about to get a picture, should I move us on to a wee news story that I've picked
up? Yes, please, Bark.
So, I know we're big fans of baking here, big fans of bakeries as well. Stephen's a baker, Scotland's best baker, as we all know, announced earlier this year. But I wanted to let you into some sad news. Now, it's not local news, unfortunately, I know all of you guys have been down to London. London Institution, Patisserie Valerie.
Oh, yeah.
So,
it's on the rocks, isn't it?
Well, yeah, really pretty sad times there. And that, like, as somebody who lived in London, that was always a kind of constant fixture for me.
There's one in Edinburgh as well.
Yeah,
it's like a chain. It's not London specific.
No, I think the first one was in London, though.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay.
It expanded out over there.
Because there's been one in Edinburgh for...
Yeah, on the bridges.
Yeah, on the bridges, yeah.
So, yeah, no, it just... I kind of thought that was a pretty weird story that the finance director has basically been arrested and placed in custody with with the chain potentially set to cease trading. The press have written obviously a lot of puff pieces about it. But I wanted to get to the base of the issue for customers. It's a proper shame they should suffer because someone was fudging the figures, you know, creaming a little off the top or had his hand right in the cookie jar. He was well paid, so I can only assume he wanted to have his cake and eat it. The police have to charge him. They can't do nothing.
I had no idea this was coming.
Nor did I.
No time for flaky excuses. This is bloody Britain, and we can expect him to get his just desserts. Not like some crummy tax haven. It's embarrassing watching the Swiss roll over on stuff like this.
Do you know what else is embarrassing, Mark?
What else?
Oh dear.
The question is, was he
it's not finished, I'm sorry.
Was he egged on by others? Or did he act alone in this half-baked scheme? This isn't so much a shoe done it as a serious crime. Some have asked why he needed the dough. To pay off some tart, maybe. I just hope he comes to Roo's choices. As we will if Pat Val is truly gone. There's no sugarcoating it. I don't think I'll ever get over it. Yes!
Oh my god.
Fuck you, Zaltzman.
Wow.
I have nothing to add.
I love the way that.
You're going to try and get on the front page of a paper?
Yeah.
got an article for you.
Yeah.
All this on-call nonsense, can't go out nonsense. You've been writing that for 6 months.
A full week-long bun run. It's never as good as my bear one. Oh,
what was your bear one again?
I had lots of Grizzly Kodiak moment. I was really pleased with Kodiak moment. Can't remember the rest.
It was unbearable.
Yeah.
Oh, right, let's get away from this. So, Lizzie, want to tell us about your fashion world at the moment?
So, I've got a bit of a rant. Right, but it's a perfectly justifiable rant. I'm going to send you guys a couple of pictures, and I would like one of you to describe what I'm about to show, and then I'll discuss it a wee bit more.
Oh, you're right, Lizzie. Doctor Who has been stealing your fashion style for years.
What?
Yes, exactly. What did I just send you a picture of?
What? So, like, basically, a hoodie, which has got sleeves and a hood, but absolutely no torso whatsoever.
Yeah.
Why?
And that was a man's one, and I've just sent you a woman's one. Now, to be fair, I've never seen a man actually walking about in that. I do, however, on a semi-regular, obviously not in astronomy, because you'd literally die of hypothermia, but you know, like, on YouTube, these kind of, like, fashion bloggers, particularly the life fitness and lifestyle ones, walking about, and, I mean, at best, a jumper that barely covers nipples, and at worst, one of these things that's basically just a cardigan with no front on it.
So the picture you've sent me, I mean, technically, I'm wondering if that's a jumper or just really long mittens.
That don't actually cover your hands, however. They're warmers. It's just the most pointless thing. So I'm going on holiday next week, and I thought, I'll just, you know, buy some sort of, I'm going to a semi-warm place, but it is October, so you know, a nice light jumper for the evening, for when it's cooled down a little bit, when you're having your glass of wine on the balcony.
And, that's light.
Sorry?
I said that's light.
Well, exactly. So I thought, I was in Inverness last week. I thought, well, I'll just go for a wee quick nosy, see what I can find. I swear to God, despite the fact it's October in Scotland, there wasn't a single jumper that came anywhere past underboob. Now, I appreciate that underboob appears to be fashionable, but I also value the, well, first of all, the rest of the world doesn't need to look at that. And secondly, has nobody ever heard of the concept of keeping your kidneys warm anymore?
But, like, obviously we all lose our natural body heat through our arms, and this has been a problem that we've had for far too long. This is actually the absolute opposite of a Joe Mango tank top.
It is nothing.
Yeah.
If you put the two together, you'd have a perfect jumper.
Me and Gary Newbegin, once got sent to the head of the French department because we got asked to write a story in French, and we basically talked about loads of teachers trying on tank tops together, Gap and stuff like that, and
yeah.
But I would like to point out that the women's one, the women's jumper, is only $6.99, down from its usual $21.99.
That's because they've cut the front off.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's proportionate to how much of a cardigan / jumper thing you're getting.
Is this what Brexit is going to do to sales? Like, yeah. If the price is cut, the product gets cut.
I can only presume that's why we're going down this route with, like, half-missing tops. Because not even just jumpers. T-shirts, it's vests, it's the whole lot. I can only presume it's because places like Primark and H&M are trying to keep their prices at the same price, but at the same time trying to cut costs. So they've half the stuff off. They've also done it with leggings. They now call leggings short leggings, and what they actually are is cycling shorts. That's not okay. There's girls in walking about in cycling shorts, and they think it's fashionable. It's because they weren't alive in the early 90s. They were forced to wear them whilst on cycling holidays in places like Orkney. I just suspect most people weren't. That was just me and my sister.
Well, see, I'm also thinking, though, that you know these tops, they use a lot less cotton. And as we know, that's the hot topic this week, is about how environmentally bad cotton is and our whole...
And how it's not vegan.
Yeah, and it's not vegan, yeah.
I'd just like to clarify.
Maybe this is the answer, is these tops. That's, okay. I think that's the way around it. Just start wearing.
But no, it isn't, because obviously, you're walking around in that, you're going to have to burn a hell of a lot more fuel to keep yourself warm.
And you're also going to require a lot of assistance from the NHS for all the diseases that you're going to get. And there's nothing environmentally friendly about the amount of electricity it takes to run a life support machine.
I think we need to get to the root of this problem, because obviously, places where we've had sweatshops with kids making us clothes in the past are getting labour rights and all that stuff. We need to find some new countries. Say, oi, you're making our clothes now for cheap because we've got Brexit to deal with, guys. You need to pull your little kids' hands' weight and do some fucking work.
Back to global Britain. Yeah. Back to the days when we had workshops that the kids would go into. Fucking right, did Charles Darwin, though? Not Charles Darwin, Charles Dickens, the world of good.
Yeah.
Bloody right. Darn it. So, basically, I see your point about disease, though, Lizzie, because looking at this woman, she does look like a walking advert for gonorrhea. So...
I believe the term we used to use was riddled.
Riddle.
To be fair, she did only spend $6.99 on a jumper. So, and she also appears to have some kind of, I don't know, malnutrition.
Yeah, maybe she actually spent $21.99 on it though.
Yeah, maybe she's gutting. That's why she's so
disappointed.
Right. Yeah, it's been cut. Maybe this is just phase one. Maybe we're going to sell you it in two parts.
To be fair, one time I did an awful lot of shopping in IKEA and I got home and I only had package one of two of everything. So maybe that was the problem. Maybe she only picked up package one of two.
Yeah, maybe that's what you need to do when you're looking for these tops, is look for the second part. You're only on part one.
You see, when I look at this in terms of the man's one, right? Like, what it makes me think of is like a day at the football, right? When you see large red-faced men wearing football strips that are far too... Because the football strip is an athletically cut garment. It is not for your average man.
Football fan.
So, like, what often happens is your average football fan, who's had a couple of cans before the game, is turning round, sees somebody, and then has to violently shout something like, fuck the Pope, in a sort of rigorous fashion, with arm movements. At which point, the tight top, which is basically okay at the shoulders, but like a condom round the belly, starts riding up. So you get the beer belly coming, like, flopping out the bottom of this, like... It's like a...
And then it just stops at the underboob.
And it stops at the underboob. This is basically what this is. This is football fan culture.
It's cultural appropriation, that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. They took from us.
Fat guy football culture being appropriated.
Can it be classed as underboob if your boobs are at your belly button?
I've often
wondered that, because all these parts with their underboob on the Instagram are like, you know, high up boobs. It'd be a lot easier for a lot of women to just wear, you know, like a slightly short t-shirt and also have underboob. Is that as attractive?
I'm not.
It's sure. Almost like this fashion moment is for a particularly shaped woman. Perky about the bosom.
Because I've never heard of that happening ever before, Mark.
No, it doesn't happen at all. Not at all. Women's fashion is so democratic.
You know, it's coming into winter. We're genuinely looking for clothes just to, you know, keep us warm. And I'd at least have thought the further away you got from the equator, the longer the jumpers would get. But apparently not.
like for nights.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. The longer the night, the longer the clothing.
That makes absolute sense.
Yeah, and underpants as well.
The famous rhyme.
Does that mean people at the equator only wear a jumper like round where the rib cage stops, and then as you get far away from equator, moves out in both directions?
So it slowly covers you.
So maybe we're only getting this because we're in the northern hemisphere. Maybe in the southern hemisphere, we're getting ones that come up from the bottom.
So they're just
to under
like
the boob.
Like a tube.
Yeah, like a tube. Yeah.
Like a waist trainer.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Which are also not okay pieces of female fashion.
Do they actually train your waist?
No, they don't. They train you to vomit.
And push everything up or down. That's
not that I have ever tried one. To be fair, I actually have it, but I have worn Spanx and there can't be that much of a difference. And when you wear Spanx, you have to wear the ones that go to your knee right up to your bra, because otherwise you get all the bits flopping out the side. Very unattractive. And you also have to do the mad dash to the toilet if you know you've got somebody back at your house. You have to do a quick, excuse me, slip into the bathroom and then like spend 20 minutes trying to get your fucking pants off. And approximately half a second putting back on the tiny ones that you left in the bathroom just in case that happened. But I've also never been in that situation.
Is that more or less awkward than going into the bathroom and washing your cock in the sink?
I don't know, it depends if you're trying to shave your legs at the same time as taking your
pants. Yeah. What are you doing changing your pants? What are you doing with your cock in the sink? Oh, humanity. Aren't we so quirky?
I have the most awful picture in my head of you now, Mark. I've known you for a very long time and this picture is not required.
Think generous thoughts.
Someone walks in. Oh, I was. Yeah. Someone walks in. Oh, I was using the cold tap to wash it. Yeah, yeah. That's why it's so soft.
Yeah. Well, we all know it wouldn't happen in my house, Mark, because my hands are far too big for you.
Like shovels.
Yeah.
Dear. Okay. Well, suppose it kind of ties in to our next topic, sort of. Probably not. Shipping.
Oh, oh yeah.
What a segue.
You really are getting great at these, aren't you? Why haven't the BBC called? Because you're not so, Nigel Farage.
Tommy.
You're going to need to explain. Sorry.
No, you're
going to need to explain this concept of shipping to me, because as an islander, the shipping for me is either the forecast that you listen to at midnight or what the ferry does when it's not doing the normal passenger run. So what is this shipping malarkey?
So shipping, it's a wee bit short for relationshipping.
Relationshipping, perhaps.
Yeah, relationshipping, yes. And it's basically a quite toxic kind of fan base type thing for TV shows and movies, more so TV shows, where actors, basically their characters are couples or become couples on the show, and the fans basically believe that the actual actors are couples as well, and then when they find out that they're not, or if an actor starts seeing somebody else that isn't the person that they do the show with, they basically don't like it, and it becomes abusive and quite aggressive as well. Lots of stuff going about online.
Yeah, I mean, this is just like when Bart started going out with Big Bird.
Yeah. It wasn't right.
So I think I probably know where the origins of this have come from, and it's all Kylie and Jason's fault. Because they actually were a couple.
Actually, that's a good point, yeah.
Kylie and Jason...
Well, I know that they were a couple because when I saw Jason Donovan at Freshers Week, and he told an entire university full of people that Kylie takes it up the arse.
Well, that's lovely. Now,
was
that in his heroin days?
Possibly. I just thought I didn't need to hear that, Jason.
Great. What a hero.
I know you feel me because you like it like this.
What a sterling bloke Jason Donovan is.
Yeah.
I once saw him walking down Buchanan Street, not Buchanan Street, Argyle Street, wearing a velour tracksuit.
Oh, lovely.
It's lovely. It was snowing. No, it was like, I don't know, I think it was about 2008.
Oh.
No, 2010. It was after I'd left uni because I was in Glasgow for a postgrad day. So there you go. Velour tracksuit, sky blue. It's lovely.
Great. Yeah.
Anyway, I've diverged slightly from the topic.
But yeah, no, so it's come up because recently a big show that's filmed in and around this area, Outlander, is... yeah, the two main stars. It's a romance story. It's a time-travelling romance story for women from the 50s and a woman from the 1700s, is it? Something like that.
From what I can gather, it's mostly watched by women in their 50s as well.
You'd be surprised.
Apart from the silent producer, obviously. My apologies.
But yeah, they... The two in it are basically, obviously, they are a couple. It's this love story that goes across time and whatnot. That we're now into season three. It's based on a series of books as well, which I think there's seven of. But recently, the female lead, Catriona Balfe, she got engaged to somebody. And this is where the kind of the toxicity came in, is that there was...
Did she not get engaged to another actor in the show?
Possibly. I'm not sure.
I think that might be part of the story.
But it's basically gone round the fan, like Twitter and social media and all that, they've been getting abuse for it because they really think that Jamie and Claire, Sam Heughan and Catriona Balfe should be this power couple. And it's funny because it kind of has gone on for a long time because I remember
The X-Files.
Mulder and Scully.
Yeah.
The same kind of things were happening round about then. People thought that they should be a couple and I don't think they ever were at any point.
It's sort of like
I don't know about a couple. No. It's
like Tommy Robinson and Katie Hopkins. You know, that would just be beautiful. The two of them got together.
But then, you know, there's other sort of examples, I think, with even like in British sort of daytime TV and that, where there's been
Richard and Judy.
They actually were.
They were playing characters for years and really hated each other.
I think probably Eamon Holmes and that bird, surely that's not real.
That is real.
That is real, yeah.
Oh. They're married.
Didn't one of the guys who presented the one show shag one of the presenters who was married?
Possibly. I don't really watch the one show.
Neither do I, but no. I thought it was funny.
But yeah, I mean, I think there has been examples of it sort of in TV as well.
But it's just because people are mental, right?
Yeah.
Basically, the essential thing is that there's a lot of people sitting at home, like watching telly and with access to the internet, being fucking mental. Like, I mean, just get out and have a conversation.
I suppose it's like Game of Thrones, where, spoiler alert, you have Jon Snow and... Oh, you've not watched it yet.
No.
Right, we're not going to talk about that.
No, not at all.
But it's worrying that people are struggling to find the difference between fiction and reality. I bloody love The Archers. It's like one of life's great pleasures to listen to The Archers on a Sunday. But I know that David and Ruth Archer, A, aren't real people, and B, the actors that play them are not actually together. It's very strange. Is this actually a real thing? Like people genuinely think they're in a relationship? Or are they just... Yeah. I feel like this is
want them to be in a relationship because they see this. I don't know if it's...
Why would you want that?
If it's like,
if I watch X-Files, I never wanted Gillian Anderson. I'd be like, no, I quite like Gillian Anderson. I don't want to quite David Duchovny.
I don't know if it's like projecting or something. Yeah, some kind of weird...
There's a weird example of this, of relationship on screen, bring it back to Doctor Who, which is David Tennant. Is now married to someone, Georgia Muffet, who in an episode played his daughter.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she is also the daughter of Peter Davidson, who used to play Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So she's married her father and his daughter, you know, in multiple ways. It's very strange.
Although,
so
now, the
that's one for the incest crowd.
That really is a good one for the incest crowd, yeah.
Having said that, you've sort of missed the whole point of this conversation, Jamie, in that those aren't real relationships.
No, oh, yeah. No, but they are. No.
So, but this is
now who's shipping?
Yeah.
because her dad played Doctor Who. So, yeah.
And now David Tennant and her are married.
Yeah.
And he played Doctor Who. So
fictionally, she married her own dad twice.
quite lost now. Quite lost. Yeah.
But like, I was just going to go back to this, like, this people are mental thing. But it's like just the entitlement that people have. Like, we're talking about like Doctor Who, and like, mm-hmm. Should there be a female actor playing Doctor Who? Mm-hmm. But there's like people who are fans of a particular show are so mental now and so entitled in the way that they want shows to be. It's like, I'm a fan. I'm the biggest fan. I wanted to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah, that's and like, then they get upset when
they
it
get
doesn't.
Upset when and it doesn't. It's like.
Again, films like, look at Star Wars. Star Wars is a classic example of a series of films where if something doesn't go the way that the fans think it should, then they throw the toys out and it becomes absolutely toxic.
But in reaction to that, there's been an interesting thing in the last few years where I can only think of two off the top of my head, but I have noticed a few more. In Star Wars, Kylo Ren's essentially the fan who's like emo raging that, you know, there's a woman and there's a black guy in it. And then you've got in Ghostbusters, there's the bad guy. He's essentially, he's like a fan as well, who's annoyed that, you know, that's what they represent. So we're sort of back, coming back.
So interesting that they're making that kind of comment back. But yeah, it's all
crazy. I hate fans. I hate myself, though, so it's okay. Yeah. But I hate fans of everything I'm a fan of. Fucking hate. MMA fans are the fucking worst.
Yeah, I know you are.
Yeah, I know. An MMA fighter a couple of years ago told a whole crowd of MMA fans to go fuck themselves. And it was like, I thought it was beautiful. People were like, oh, that's terrible. I was like, this guy's my fucking hero. I'd love to say that to a stadium full of MMA fans. Fucking great.
Yeah, it's weird. It is. I think you're right, Mark, though. It's the entitlement aspect where they think, I don't know. Is it because you've invested so much time in it that you think it's yours? Is that where it comes from?
But why are people investing that much time? And also, you can invest time without it becoming a reality. Yeah, you know,
exactly. You could just enjoy it. Like there are bits.
I once spent 6 weeks watching every single episode in all 8 series of Gossip Girl, but I know that they are not real people.
But
Chuck Bass is my husband, just saying.
Yeah, you're kind of disproving what you just said.
I spend an awful, like, once I've immersed myself in a TV show, I do sort of become them for a while.
Was that the time you completed Pornhub?
Jab was Jamie.
Kutch has a bucket of spiders, by the way, in his corner. And I think because of his love of Spider-Man, he keeps spiders and irradiates them in the microwave. Tries to get him to bite them, but none of them have passed the test so far, and he just chucks them away.
Absolute toxic friendship. Yeah. What was I going to say? The idea of box sets as well, and this sort of binge watching. Do you think, again, that that's maybe an element to it? Is because people are spending so much time in one go that they're getting wrapped up in it.
I think it's that, but I think it's more so the internet. Because everyone uses the internet now, you've got an echo chamber for something you're interested in.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like a feedback loop of, oh, I've got this opinion, I've got this opinion, and an opinion mouse.
Yeah.
You know, people didn't have such set opinions in the past about things they liked.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, was good, that was bad. But never I hate it, or I love it. You know, it's strange.
I do think the whole box set thing has, though, so totally changed the way we watch series it probably is contributing to that a bit. I mean, it's very rare that we do that whole watch something and then wait a week for the next episode and you just don't get it anymore. It's like when things like Handmaid's Tale are on, which, you know, we're all obsessed with, and you have to wait a whole week. Now, that was just, we did that for years and years, and now we just can't cope with it, like I said.
Although I do like it with some shows.
Yeah, it's good with The Handmaid's Tale, though, because it's so gutting. And the same thing with Black Mirror. I've still not watched the whole, even though I loved Black Mirror, and I watched it every time live when it was on Channel 4, I've not watched the whole last series yet, because it's so gutting.
And the problem is I don't want
to watch more than one in a row.
No. And you'd be tempted to do more than one in a row. And it's
absolutely gutting.
Yeah.
There's no way I could have binge-watched a series of Handmaid's Tale. Like, anybody could have
It's so bleak, but so good. It's so all-consuming.
You can't be like... I actually got to the point where I did have to save my ironing to what to do whilst I was Handmaid's Tale, because I actually physically couldn't concentrate on it, like, 100%, because it was too much.
Just too much going on, yeah.
And I also thought there was some irony in doing my ironing whilst I had me.
That was truly a 5 Cob joke, Lizzie.
Sorry.
Welcome to our live.
Right. All right,
do you know what I was just thinking there, though? if we're going to move on, if we just go back to earlier when we were talking about how David Tennant's wife technically married our brother and our dad twice. Is that what it was? That kind of links to our next story, because I believe there was a royal wedding today.
Oh, God. Yes, there was.
Do you like it? Do you like it?
That was. Yeah, I see what you did. You tried to go for the incest thing. Yeah.
It didn't end with guillotine, so I was again disappointed.
So yeah, there was a wedding. That's maybe why I did the intros. But did anybody really care about this?
It was
wedding?
Fucking me off today. I was trying to watch the news, and they were talking about his wedding that no one was fucking interested in.
Yeah, I mean, she's never going to be anywhere in line to the throne. So what's
Holly Valance was there?
And all the girls had to hold their hats on because it was a bit windy.
I think I flicked onto BBC earlier, like onto the website, and the first like five stories were about this wedding, and it was just like, it's like they're trying to garner more the same excitement over the prince's weddings. It's not going to happen.
But it's interesting you say that, actually, because I was doing a little bit of research earlier, which I know is not a concept that you guys are familiar with, but not often, so I wanted to, impression. And so obviously they got married in the same place as where Harry and what's her face, that Meghan Bird, who by the way is defo pregnant anyway, they got married in the same place, and they had the long drive basically up to, is it Windsor? And there's pictures comparing the crowds on the long walk is what it's called, at Meghan and Harry's wedding compared to today. So Meghan and Harry's wedding, like it's rammed, people have got blankets, having picnics. Today there appear to be 7 people, and 3 of them are in high-vis jackets. So I feel like maybe there just wasn't the same interest in this bird's wedding.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know who she is, if I'm going to be honest. Like, I know there's 2 sisters.
Apparently she had, was it scoliosis? Curvature of the back, and she had major surgery to straighten it out, basically. And she's got a scar.
Do you want to make us feel sorry for her?
No, she's got a big scar down her back.
We paid for that as well, so it's just not fair all round. She didn't have that at the local Nash Hospital.
Is she a secret Plantagenet? So what's going on?
I don't know what that is.
It's a line of kings and some had curved backs.
Yeah.
What? Have you actually made a royal family, royal lineage based?
Was it Richard III? One of them had a curved back. Curved spine.
Yeah. To be fair to them, they are actually, these two girls, despite their looks, are probably the least inbred of a lot of the royals, because Sarah Ferguson doesn't come from any kind of
royal background.
Lineage. No. That was part of the problem when he married her, was that she wasn't appropriate. So actually,
But it's 50% still inbred. It's 50. Yeah, I mean that's pretty much inbred. Who would be ginger? I mean, it's 50% not inbred enough to not be called inbred, though.
In the royal family, I would say so.
I don't know. I think that inbred of a royal family outweighs any uninbredness of everyone else.
It's like a loaf of Hovis.
Oh my god! Jesus Christ, gosh, that's terrible.
Inbred. Anyway,
I don't think that's a good analogy, because Hovis isn't inbred. It would be whatever was the filling of the sandwich.
Then he get picky with me,
So, like ham, or in my case, hummus, or something like that. That would be the inbred.
Inbred, okay, right, fine. Will we move on?
Yes.
Yeah. Right, we're going to go to our island, I think.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time when you join us here once again at BBC Radio 4 for another journey to the desert island of Dex.
And here we are. And how did we get here this week?
We're not here yet. We're not here yet, Kutch. You're going mental.
No. That's, and how did we get here this week?
By plane.
Yeah.
With our animals.
A biplane.
Yeah, and we crashed because of Storm Callum. Storm Callum blew us. And now we've crashed.
The plane isn't choosy.
But yeah, no, so we decided to fly to our desert island this week, and before we got on the flights, we were all feeling a bit nervous about actually flying. I'm not the biggest fan of flying, I don't know about you guys, but...
Not after our experience with the island.
Yeah.
It's usually by boat, but...
Yeah, but just travel in general. Yeah. So, yeah, I think we've all decided we want to bring a companion animal. It seems to be the in thing to do.
Yeah, because if listeners haven't heard, there was a woman who has refused travel in the US because she had an emotional support squirrel with her, which she needed to help her through the journey.
Was it quite a sneaky squirrel?
Not sneaky enough for customs discovered him.
maybe during a cavity search. Yeah, well, a sneaky cavity squirrel search.
Oh my! You should probably ask Beaker
whilst,
about him.
Whilst they were reaching round, they found a sneaky squirrel.
Yeah. Possibly, like with that double ending lighting up. Sonic screwdriver might be the perfect tool for an investigation.
I don't know if we've ever explained to Fife fans. I know we've talked about it a fair bit, but what a sneaky squirrel actually is.
I'm not going
to explain I think we need Beaker to explain that in person.
Yeah, yeah, he can explain it. I think we can guess from what we said.
Just use your imagination, Fife fans. Yeah. Jump over the moon. Anyway. So yeah, we've had sneaky squirrels, but we've had other things recently. We've had like...
Somebody tried to take an emotional support peacock.
Yes.
Oh, that's my story, Mark. I'm sat looking at it right now.
Good.
On the BBC news page, a female traveller was recently banned from taking a large, in inverted commas, emotional support peacock on a United Airlines plane. Oh. She had offered to buy the bird its own plane ticket. Nonetheless, the airline refused to let the bird... on board the Newark Airport to New Jersey flight, saying it did not meet guidelines due to its weight and size. Not the fact that it was a fucking peacock. It was too heavy.
Fat shaming a peacock. Yeah, thanks, United Airlines. Is there no depth you won't sink to?
And he's a
beautiful specimen as well.
Oh, I just...
But also, like, you cannot have... Like, peacocks are territorially mental birds. They're really aggressive.
Which Jamie and I know all too well, yes, having lived in the sea flat, albeit at different times. That bloody peacock can put his big stupid tail over my velvet window at least twice a day.
Yeah. Stand on the roof, facing the way where there were no peahens left in Dunfermline anyway. If they were facing the opposite directions from where there ever were peahens during their dances on the roof in pecking order. It was beautiful to watch. Beautiful.
Yeah. Again, as a reference back, if Fife fans don't know, Dunfermline has resident peacocks. Yeah. It always has done. And they're
coming back.
Yeah, they're coming back. They've got, what, five?
No,
five
they keep,
chicks.
Yeah. They keep them in chicks. Now, don't they? They don't let them wander around.
No, it's 5p chicks.
They don't let them wander around.
No, that's not true, because Bruce doesn't give a fuck.
Bruce does whatever the fuck Bruce wants.
He mostly hangs out at a takeaway van.
Yeah.
Serves like sausage and tatties, God rolls.
Hanging out at that junction next to Serena's. I saw one just sitting in the middle of the road there. Just like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to fucking do? I'm a peacock.
Yeah.
All the cars swerving around it.
Well, that's the thing.
I was once genuinely late for work because the traffic was all backed up. When I lived at home, and I had to drive along Carnegie Drive, and I genuinely was late for work because there was a peacock in the road.
It'd probably been Clive as well. He liked to.
Yeah, it was. It was the original.
Take a wee lie down in the middle of the. Yeah. Yeah. So we had Clive. We've done a wee farewell to Clive when he passed
away.
Oh, Clive.
But
yeah, and all the new males are all named after the kings, isn't it? It's like Bruce, Malcolm, and
are
yeah, oh. Aye. Yeah, so it's an interesting naming convention.
So what we're doing is we're going to take our own support animals to the island to help us on the journey there.
Yeah, so who are you taking? What are you taking?
Well, I have a little story. On the way here, because, you know, I do a lot of preparation for this podcast, so on the walk down here, I was like, what am I going to take to the island? Before, just at the bottom end of my street as I was walking out, I stepped on something and it went squish under my boot. And I went, oh no. What was that? I looked back, and in the dark, it looked like seaweed. And then I got closer to it, and it was a fucking frog. I'd killed a frog.
Oh, Jamie.
I know. So
at least you had shoes on.
Well, yeah, exactly.
The frog had shoes on.
It was Mr. Toad.
Yeah. I'm basically Bucky O'Hare.
You know, there's nothing worse though when you used to nip out the back door of your house to get the washing in, and you had no shoes on and you just had socks on and you stood on a flood.
Oh yeah, no, been there, done that.
Yeah,
it's like standing on snails as well. Oh, that crack,
and it hurts your foot. That
so I was quite gutted after that.
Yeah,
and I came down listening to my favourite Silverchair album, and then, I was genuinely gutted. I'm making jokes about it. I was gutted when I got here. But then, at the corner just past Sky, I didn't step on a live frog. I didn't take a picture of a dead frog, because that seemed weird.
Yeah, no, that definitely would be weird.
But that's an alive frog at the corner of Sky. So basically, I didn't kill that one, so now I'm okay, because that's how murder works, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you kill one person and don't kill another, you're all right. So me and this frog are now buddies for life, and he's coming along with me. That's my
Is he in your pocket right now?
Choke him too hard, because he might get squished.
Well, I mean, have you been licking him?
Why is your skin purple, Kutch?
But that's the thing, like, how would he be your emotional support animal? Like, would you just...
It'd be quite shit, to be fair.
Yeah, because he's not going to get back. You could sit there and like take the piss. You know, he's just there for you to rib it. But
oh yeah! God.
Oh, what a walk!
Hello.
Hop, skip, and a jump to that one.
Yeah, but well, that other one's croaked it. So. Yeah.
Oh my god! Warts and all. Yeah. So he's going to be my support animal, but he's going to be terrified, because he's going to be like, mate, you just fucking stepped on my cousin. I heard about it already. What are you doing? So he's going to be petrified, but I'll feel good about it.
Yeah,
because I'll be like, I'm saving this frog.
You're doing a wee bit of sort of virtue kind of signaling. Kind of
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Because of your inherent guilt, though.
Yeah. No, I'm morally neutral, because I killed one and I didn't kill one, so it's fine. That's how murder works.
That is how murder works.
It is. I let one go. I could have fucking stomped on it, but I fucking didn't.
For every person that you don't kill, you get to kill somebody else.
Yeah, I was genuinely gutted about it. No. Fucking, oh, man. Sorry.
We shared a story about when we were up in Arasega one time, and it was about this time of year. And, yeah, raining, really heavy rains, and the roads were moving with frogs. And you couldn't swerve them, so you just had to drive through them. And the amount of times the wheels slip, you could feel the wheels just slipping. And just like,
Just to be clear, I'm not okay with this conversation.
Oh, neither am I. It's not good.
Anyway. Let's talk about nice things with animals, not killing them.
Yeah. Okay. So let's
see. Guilt frog.
I nearly hit a rabbit on the way to the gym the other day. I was traumatised when I came in. Some God.
I aim for them when I see them down there.
Mind that time I wrote the car off on a deer.
Yeah. Scotland's dangerous. People don't realise it.
Yeah, we've got frogs and rabbits and deer.
The biggest predator in Scotland's a badger. Yeah.
Is that not the whole of the UK?
Not in Lewis, yeah. It's not.
No, that's your Uncle Alan.
Is it not hedgehogs on Lewis?
No, that's Uist. We don't have any hedgehogs either.
So just no natural predators.
Otters?
Are you saying that the apex predator on Uist is a hedgehog?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
I mean, okay, so you could maybe say like eagles, but things that live on the ground, there isn't anything. Or maybe like weasels. Oh, I think they have a mink problem because some animal rights activist lets them out once.
There's mink everywhere, though. American mink.
Well, I spent quite a long time thinking about this, because what animal I would take. Because, I mean, obviously, absolutely, the first thing that came to mind was a dog. In fact, specifically, 75 dogs, because that's what would make me happy in life. But
is that what you get in dog heaven when you kill a cat?
More dogs.
70 dogs.
But, you know, it's maybe a wee bit obvious. And realistically, I would have a dog with me anyway, because I've basically always got a dog attached to me. So whenever we first got to the island, there'd be dogs there anyway. So then I thought, well, I go with something that will really, like, proper cheer me up if I'm feeling really rubbish and really sad. And then I thought, well, I go with the classic smiley face of a quokka. But then I remembered that they only live in like one really small specific environment, and they're all getting like damaged because of people.
Yeah.
So I decided to go with something that I could have a good old chat with. You know, I like a chat. So I'm going to go with either a parrot or a cockatoo.
An emotional support cockatoo.
I do notice the word cock featured in two of the three animals you mentioned.
This is where I was going. An emotional support cock or two.
You're going to bring that. You're going to bring that Doctor Who sonic screwdriver.
Yeah, that's why I don't need the cock or two. I'll just because I've got two of my sonic screwdrivers. Courtesy of Jodie Whittaker. Yeah, no, I just think I'd like to have an animal I could have a chat with. And you guys can have fun teaching it swear words, because, you know, fun thing you do with birds that speak. So, yeah, I'm taking
a word. Our mutual friend and former podcast guest, Kenneth, always said he wanted to get a parrot. And I knew that if ever he got a parrot, I would spend a long time teaching it to say really terrible things.
Yeah.
Like, I would just like break into his house and really get the constantly teach to say things. It would be my finest life's work.
Can you reckon? Do you know he's got like a little one that'll be learning to speak soon or about now?
Little ones are basically like parrots when they're pretty young, aren't they?
So it's not as funny.
They say stuff you don't expect that parents have said. They repeat it.
My dad says you're a cunt.
I think it's funnier with a parrot though, because a kid will grow out of it.
The parrot will just keep going.
You also can't tell a parrot off for it, because it doesn't know what it's doing.
Yeah, exactly. It's just mimicking you.
Tell it to shut the fuck up, it'll just say that back at you anyway, so...
Are there not sort of parrots out there that have, like, lexicons of about 2,000 words or something like that?
That's a lot. Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That's interesting. Anyway,
that's the end of that fact.
Yeah, that's the end of that one.
But they're actually relatively—they're okay in enclosed spaces, because there was one that used to live in the pet shop.
Yeah, and it was perfectly happy. there's actually one in the pet shop here, but the pet shop obviously is on an island. It's got to double up as something else, so it's also the garden centre. And
I was hoping it was going to be something really hilarious, like it's a lingerie shop.
Get your Doctor Who sonic screwdriver.
Yeah.
I'm afraid we don't have lingerie shops up here, Mark. What possible purpose would you have for a lingerie shop?
Yeah, well, when you're wearing your half jumper thing, you're going to have to brush up in your bra.
That's what your damn like this.
I'm
pretty sure the Wee Freeze would not like the idea of Victoria's
Secret. And Liz.
There used to be a shop, Myrtle McLean's, which was like the original stored away department store. It has now shut down, which was quite sad actually, because it was an institution. Anyway, up the stairs in Myrtle McLean's, you could buy, I mean, they termed it underwear. I would call it full outerwear, the size of it. Like, bras, I mean, I've never seen anything like that. There's boulders going on. I was going to be in hospital overnight, and the wee bit of paper that says, you know, take a dressing gown and some slippers. And I realised that my dressing gown I had since about 2001, and I think it had been washed about twice in that time. So I thought, I'll better get a new dressing gown. So away I go to Myrtle McLean's. Well, that was a lovely dressing gown. You know, one that like buttons up and it's got a nice, really round neck collar, like a Peter Pan collar. Beautiful. Needless to say, I just took some trackies to the hospital instead.
I do love that there's still stores like that. Like,
well, there isn't anymore. Shame, because Myrtle McLean's was hilarious for that type of thing. My mum bought a pair of shoes in there once. I think she's the only pair.
It's like there used to be Wilkie's and Rosyth was the kind of same
thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is that not where everybody used to get their blazers for when you were a prefect?
Yeah. And King's Road as well, their monitors, they had their blazers as well and everything. It's just, weird little relics, which never seem to move on with times or fashion.
So, just like yourself.
Thank you.
Hey.
So, Coach, what are you bringing to an island? I'm going to bring something that's maybe a bit of a dangerous animal, of the canine family, but he's also a bit of a famous incarnation of it, I'm going to bring Wile E. Coyote as my as my companion.
I suppose you know, easily controllable. If you get to the island and he tries to escape, you can just paint a tunnel on a rock and then he'll slam going
right into it. This is the thing, is that you can trick him. But, you know, I think, you know, you might be all right, you know, so long as you've got, like, I don't know, maybe a wee VR helmet of a emu running about, it'll be fine. You'll sit there and you'll be able to pet him and just kind of take, you know, take your stress out of it. The other thing that I was thinking is, as the plane's going down, he's quite good at levitating.
Yes,
it's very true.
Enough for you to get, like, your backpack out, your parachute, you know, or sort something that, that means that when you do land... You're not gonna die. So I was
thinking, you say that, but he does also have a lot of Acme weights in his pocket.
He does.
That's true.
But on the other side, he can hold up a sign. So that rescuers can see he's saying something.
Yeah.
Something witty.
Yeah.
But then you've got to think of other practical things like, why is Wile E. Coyote coming with you to the island? Does he owe so much money to the Acme Corporation? Has he got like outstanding consumer credit debt? He's taking out a payday loan.
He's had to do a bunk.
You also cannot let him close to Acme TNT because he is a danger to himself and others. Just to himself, really.
He has a spectacular record of track record of failure. Outright failure.
Yeah.
So is he your emotional support animal to just make you feel better about yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of like why people watch EastEnders.
Yeah.
Their life can't be as bad as that. Yeah.
But I mean, how would he cope without his relationship partner of Roadrunner? Like, is it a wee bit shit that you're taking away from his life partner?
Well, because we've probably got something on the island that we'll do, and if not, there's always the fucking honey badger.
Yeah, well, we'll bring that woman who wanted to bring a peacock. That's close enough.
I was going to say, like, surely Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner's relationship is pretty much the same as Brett Kavanaugh's and his wife. If anyone's seen that clip on the internet.
Yeah. Oh, dear God. Body language. That's what happens when you're...
I can't.
Good point.
I would trust Brett Kavanaugh of TNT either.
No, in fairness, definitely not. No. Never mind a fucking...
Because he likes beer.
Yeah. Never mind trust him with the judiciary system.
No.
Yeah, anyway.
I think it's a fine emotional support animal that you brought. Wile E. Coyote seems like good crack. Yeah. Did you not ever... We've probably said this on the thing before, but I've always wondered if there's like one secret episode of Looney Tunes somewhere where he catches the Roadrunner, bites his head off. Because that would be great.
Like, just pick him up, shakes him.
Yeah, shakes, rips, tears his head off.
And then just leaves him in pieces all over the ground like a fox with a chicken.
Yes, exactly.
That's going to be for the live-action Netflix series. That's going to be the end of it, yeah.
That's all, folks.
That was actually a really good way to end the podcast.
Are you actually just going to totally skip out on this?
Yeah, you're not taking it, Animal Mark. There's only
Penman mouthed earlier. I am nothing.
Penman, there is only one animal. There's only one animal you could take because it. You might need to borrow its pocket.
That's all, folks. Before Lizzie says something rude.
It's okay. Guts can bleep it out.
I'm not sure I get this.
An otter's pocket.
Oh, right.
Jesus Christ, God.
You were the person that taught me that expression.
I, for a long time, thought you'd actually made up that expression, Mark. And one time I heard somebody use it on the internet, and I was like, my friend Mark made up that expression. You didn't, did you?
I wasn't even the first of our group of friends to hear.
Genuinely thought you'd made that up, and I thought it was really clever. But anyway. If anybody's wondering what expression we're talking about, you'll need to Google it.
Yeah.
As Boba Fett, as a school jotter's Davy Sprocket.
Okay, yeah. The world's worst Cockney rhyming slap.
I'm still working that out in my head.
Right, well, will we bring it to a close?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that then.
I've just realised what you're about to ask me, bugger.
Yeah, it really... Well, first of all, I think we'll just sort of say, as... Jamie gave out the details at the start. Get in contact with us.
Just search on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, and do that.
FiveClub.co.uk.
If you go to FiveClub.co.uk and you want to give us anything, a little bit of cash, we would love it. You know,
or buy our shit.
That's it. Yeah, chuck in a buck, buy our shit.
Jamie actually has placed items of his own shit, his full cases in a box on the internet.
Yeah,
it's quite specialist, but you know, for those real niche buyers out there that are still looking for Christmas,
he's put
someone will want it.
He's put up some of his shit and some bananas because his shit is bananas.
I'm leaving. I'm leaving you, Kutch.
Fair enough. That's fine. So anyway, Elizabeth, would you like to give us a motto for this week?
Well, see, when it's really windy, my best recommendation would be not to own a boat because you'll never be able to sleep again for the rest of your life. The best I can manage.
That's what happened to Quincy. He died at sea.
Oh my! Oh, I did, didn't he? I just realised. In future, we're going to take your boat to the island, Lizzie. So it's going to be fucked.
Yeah, it'll be getting totally fucked.
Yeah. Well, you can pay the bloody insurance premium. Is all I'm saying to that.
fair dues. Right. Well. Good night.
Night.
Bye.
Safe in Storm Callum.
'Oh, my ears are so warm.
I know, I have sweaty ears. It's disgusting.
Yeah, totally.
It's just over the ear earphones. It's not okay. I don't know how people wear them in the gym.
Oh, I have to wear them in the gym because the other ones get so sweaty and they fall out my ears. I'm having a massive coffee because I am practically asleep already.
You're having a what?
A massive coffee.
Oh gosh, that is not what I heard. It broke up. The sound broke up just after call.
I've had an operation. It's been a really great success.
No, having. You said having, not have.
Yeah.
You had an operation to permanently have a cock in your ass.
Yeah, why not?
Tell you what, Jamie, it'd be better than fucking nothing.
That's true.
Is it your own cock in your ass as well?
Well, that would really save time.
Ideal. Surely, from a man's perspective, that would be ideal.
That's like a double wank as well, because, like, let's assume it's hitting your G-spot, right? And then you force it sort of down and around. Then you're both wanking it at the base and hitting your own, inside your own ass. There you go.
See, when I said that's the ideal, we're going to just left it at that?
Yeah, I ran with it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting when we next see Jamie surgically folded up like a pretzel with no cock in his ass.
That's how Prince died. It's his last surgery.
Oh shit. It's like a really horrible raggy doll.
I've literally just been sick in my own mouth.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It's not nice.